time for us to get into our motoring conversation, looking at how innovations in technology, both in your cars and insurance, have changed your insurance. And actually, I often wonder, has it made us better drivers? Because I think it's meant to be. The fact that your insurer can at any time have access to your tracking data, has that made you a better driver? Does that mean you drive a bit more consciously, with greater consideration? Or doesn't it matter? You drive the way you always did, even before you got the tracker or the fact that your car can be geolocated. Do you like the fact that, you know, if you are in distress, your car can be tracked? Has it helped you? Have you been in a situation where being able to be tracked and geolocated was the difference between something really, really bad happening and you getting out of a sticky situation? We'd love to hear from you on 011-883-0702. Your SMS is on 31702. Send us your WhatsApp messages on 0727021702. Joined on the line by our resident motoring enthusiast, Warren Tucker. Warren, as always, it's great to have you on the show. Good morning.
Good morning, Cook. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. And how are you?
I'm good. So, do you have insurance?
I do.
And would you like the insurance to check on you periodically and see what it is that you do in the car, whether you put in makeup on in the morning, on your way to work, whether you chat on your phone, in traffic?
I always assume my insurer is doing that anyway. I behave as if my car insurer, like every once in a while, they kind of pull up because I have a tracker on my vehicle. And I've looked at, because I, as the consumer, have access to, I guess, the reports. And
yes,
those reports are pretty detailed. It tells me when I took off, you know, at a traffic light, for instance, if I took off very quickly. It tells me if I slammed my brakes very hard. It tells me if I took a corner quickly. Obviously, it will tell you if you're going over the speed limit. So I always assume my insurer knows everything. I assume my insurer knows all my secrets.
Yes. So wouldn't you, so here's the discussion I always have when insurance things pop up, and it's normally a case of, but I pay insurance for insurance to help me when I make a mistake or when there's a problem,
mm-hmm.
not to turn around and say to me, well, sir, you know, we've noticed that you pull away really quick from robots and you brake last minute before you get to the next robot. You seem to be a bit of a reckless driver. You know, I think we're going to repudiate this claim based on your behavior.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in terms of what do you pay insurance for? What do you want the insurance to do? Do you want the insurance to give you all these tools and potentially use the tool against you?
Well, I guess you hope, because here's the other thing, right? And I've had a personal experience of, you know, because it is quite a lot of surveillance, right? It's a mm-hmm. lot of information for your car insurer to have. But I've been in a situation where the car insurer having that amount of surveillance made a difference. So 7 years ago, no, 8 years ago, 2016, my mother had a really bad accident. She drove over something in the road. She just bought a new car. The car started leaking. Mm-hmm. She pulls over to the side to get out to see what had happened, you know, what was happening under the car. As she
yes.
does that, a white Polo comes speeding past. I don't know if they'd seen her, didn't see her. She wasn't in the road. She was in the shoulder lane, and she was looking under the car. That car, the white car, then hits her and hits the mm-hmm. car as well. And because her particular tracker had like an impact...
alert sensor.
Yes. Her insurer tried to call her to say, you know, we've gotten this notification of an impact on your car. Are you okay? She couldn't answer the phone. They then sent an ambulance. At the same time, someone who'd seen the accident also sent an ambulance, but the one that they sent didn't arrive on time. And if
okay.
my mom had gone to the hospital 5 minutes later, she'd waited for the other ambulance, she would have died. The injuries were that bad. And so that's like
sure.
the one and only time where, and I mean, her insurer could tell again how far she was driving, how hard she was braking, et cetera, et cetera. And they'd incentivize her. And that's
yeah.
the one and only time I can think of the benefit was if that impact alert hadn't gone off, if they hadn't called her, if the ambulance hadn't arrived when it did and she arrived at the hospital, she could have really died. But mm-hmm. I often think, though, is that enough, you know, that it could help you in a really bad situation? Is it enough to justify how much information it collects, though? How much information your insurer collects on a daily basis every time you get into your car?
Well, as you've just pointed out, in this situation, there are obviously pros and cons. This time, definitely a pro, based on the impact information that the vehicle had sent off to the insurance. They were able to mobilize an ambulance and get your mom sorted. And that was based obviously on the technology that the insurance had put into the vehicle. Mm. But obviously, the information that's collected, this data that's collected, I mean, I'm sure there are instances or people that will call in that will say, well, listen, it doesn't always help. Or there was information collected on certain behavior. I wasn't driving. Somebody else was driving the vehicle and I got penalized later, that sort of thing. Mm. So I'm sure there's pros and cons as far as your insurance collecting all of this information goes. Mm. But all technology, I mean, the technology that they've put out, telematics, your data analytics, your artificial intelligence, those tools that they put into the vehicle, they put into their system to monitor your behavior. So the system will then predict, well, Googs pulls away quite quickly from robots, but she generally sticks to the speed limit. This is the sort of driver behavior that you've got. So it forms a behavior pattern for you, and you will get put into a specific risk category. That might determine for you in the long run lower premiums. Or if you're somebody that is somebody who speeds between robots, brakes late, takes corners quite quickly, the system might determine that, okay, well, look, warrants a higher risk, therefore he needs to pay more. But then the question is if I'm paying more because of my higher risk, do I then, when something happens, does that information get used against me and then my claim thrown out? Because there are quite a few people who don't want these systems in their vehicle. They just want straightforward insurance. I pay you every month so that when I have a problem, you step in and sort it out. Not tell me that I was speeding between robots. That's why you're not going to pay.
Yeah, and I guess the industry could make the argument that, and I don't think it's just with vehicle insurance, in general, in the insurance industry, I imagine fraud is quite a big issue. People saying, no, I got into a bumper bashing this morning on my way to work, and, you know, this is what happened. But then when you look at the tracker or the telematics, it turns out that person was speeding. Or actually they were in the wrong. They go, no, I ended up in an accident in a four-way stop. It was my right of way. And then you look at the cameras, because I think that's another layer. We now have cameras, and certainly in Johannesburg, yes, the Premier has announced thousands of new cameras that are going to be deployed around the province. You look at the cameras and it turns out, actually you were in the wrong. So it does also feel as if it's quite a heavy-handed solution to, I imagine, what is quite a big problem for insurers, which is fraud.
No, for sure. And look, these systems all get put in place because of stuff like that. If everybody was not, if their fraud risk was not that high, all these systems get put in to mitigate the insurance company's risk, not yours. Yes, there are pros and cons in this, but predominantly, these systems are put in place just for that mitigating risk. Pick a scenario where, for example, Discovery Health is a insurance company, health insurance company, and decides out of nowhere to penalize members because they don't go to the gym. They can see whether you go to the gym or not and how many times you go to the gym, and decide, well, you know what, you've gotten this specific ailment because you have not been attending physical fitness, therefore we might not pay that. That's a scenario that anybody would look at and say, well, but hang on, I pay medical insurance for you to provide me with insurance when I am not well, and when I go into hospital or pay the doctor, I'd like you to come to the party and pay the bills. So again, how would you, as the consumer, these are the products that are offered. Would consumers then steer away from insurance companies that use these systems and rather want to go with the companies that are more your normal practical insurance companies, in the sense that they, well, look, we're insuring you. This is the risk profile based on your prior accident history, and therefore, based on that, we feel that you are minimum risk and we will insure you at X amount.
Are there any insurers, short-term insurers, currently that don't use that system, particularly if the car is financed? Do we know of any currently where you can just get vehicle insurance, but you don't necessarily need to install a tracker? I, for some reason, thought trackers are now almost, in the same way you have to have insurance for a financed vehicle, you almost have to have some kind of tracker or security system like that in your car for the policy. Have they just become commonplace? You almost can't get around them.
Well, the thing is, remember, insurance is about risk. So insurance companies will look at the vehicle you drive, look at you as the consumer or the person trying to purchase their product, and you've got a risk profile already because you've had insurance for X amount of years. So they look at your claims history. They look at how you've claimed, what you've claimed for, how many times you've claimed, and all those things build up a sort of a profile for you, and that is now your insurance risk. So the insurance company will then also look at, okay, well, Googs drives a specific vehicle that is a high-risk vehicle. Therefore, because the vehicle is a high-risk vehicle, we feel that we want a tracker in this vehicle and we want to be able to monitor this vehicle because it's high-risk. Or they might say to Warren, well, listen, you've decided to purchase a GTI. Your profile suggests that you are a little bit of a speeder. You speed between robots, or you are constantly over the speed limit. Therefore, we're going to enforce that you will have this tracker and this mixed telematic system if you take up our product. So that's our insurance approach a client. It's all about risk. What's the risk for them, and what sort of risk profile are you?
How much of our cars getting smarter as well is contributing to this? So I know we're talking about currently around tracking systems, which again are also, we know the reality that cars get stolen in South Africa. So that's also why they've become so popular and commonplace. But also cars increasingly, certainly newer cars, they themselves are becoming smarter and smarter. Like I know my car has a SIM card. It has an IMEI number because there is a SIM card in that car. Does that have any impact on your insurance premiums, the fact that you have this web-connected vehicle? Are those things making us, I imagine they were designed for safety, but I imagine there's some drawbacks as well.
Well, the thing is those systems are designed, so most of the motor manufacturers obviously want to add extra products to the driving experience. So, for example, I know that some of the BMWs have the connected drive system, the more high-end systems, and you can add, for example, you can add concierge service, you can add Apple CarPlay when you pay for the subscription. So you pay a yearly subscription to have those features. And what the manufacturer would do is they then download it to the vehicle, and those you pay in sort of a subscription like you would pay for DSTV or any one of the other subscription systems. And those systems then are all add-ons. But in the background also, I'm sure you've seen that a lot of new vehicles have a system where you connect the car to an app, and what that does is it monitors services on the vehicle, brake pads, when the pads might need to be changed. It will say to you, well, listen, your vehicle needs due a service. This is the closest service agent for our vehicle. Would you like us to schedule a service for you? And all this is done on your phone via an app so that it makes your life easier. The systems that monitor your driving, sort of like a black box, those systems have been in vehicles since as early as 2002. It's just the manufacturer has access to that information. Mm. And they can pull up what speed you were going, what sort of steering angle was the last recorded angle on the steering. So whether you were turning, how hard had you applied brakes, what gear you were in, that sort of thing. So that information has been around for a while. It has been there.
There's always the question about, so in the instance where you do need to claim from your insurer, maybe you do have a piece of technology in your car that does have that information, how hard you were braking, how quickly you were turning, etc. Do you have to hand it over? Is it your information as the driver, as an individual? Or do they even have to ask you, actually? Does your insurer have to say, hey, won't you please give us the information for the time of the accident? Or can they just go directly to the person that you... Because usually I think you rent the device. Can they just go directly to that company? They don't even need to get your go-ahead or consent as the driver and owner of the vehicle.
That would be in your policy documentation. And I'd imagine that there'd be a clause in there that should they require to download your driving history, they should be able to do that based on the fact that you opt into their product.
And so there haven't been instances where a driver has said, well, no, I don't want to give you that information. It's my information. And the insurance company can't access it. I don't think I've come across a case like that, certainly in the South African context, but maybe yeah. I've missed one.
Well, I'm pretty sure there'd be one out there. I'm also not aware of a case like that. But if there is anybody out there that's had a situation like that, please, they're welcome to call in and chat to us and tell us what it is that happened or how that went down. Mm. But I'd imagine that when you take out a policy, remember the insurance company has their terms and conditions. And they would say to you, well, look, if you're going to go with our product, you're going to read, you're going to have our system put into the vehicle. These are our terms and conditions based on X, Y, and Z. And the minute you opt in, that's why it's so important to read your policy so that you know exactly what it is that you are insured for and what it is that you aren't. You hear so many stories from people, well, you know, the insurance didn't pay. The insurance gets such a bad rap, but, you know, chances are if you look in the policy, there was a clause there that suggested, well, if your behavior is X, the result would be Y. And therefore, we would then repudiate your claim, right? And, I mean, something as simple as, well, your vehicle always needs to be roadworthy, okay? If your license disc is expired on your vehicle, that vehicle is not roadworthy. If you have ball tires on the vehicle, that vehicle is not roadworthy. If your headlights don't work, your brake lights don't work, that vehicle is not roadworthy. So those are all small things that the insurance would look at and say, well, listen, it says in our policy, the vehicle needs to be roadworthy at all times. Based on what we've seen, this vehicle hasn't been roadworthy. It's not in a roadworthy condition. Your front tires were bald, therefore you could not stop, and that's why you had this accident in the rain. You know, that sort of thing.
Yeah. And I mean, with regards to roadworthiness and, you know, that impacting your insurance. So even if the particular part of your car that is not roadworthy, say, you know, your headlights aren't working, but your accident or your incident was a bumper bashing, could that still be made? Could it still be relevant when you then are trying to claim that you've claimed for this bumper bashing that happened at 11 o'clock in the morning, but actually your headlights don't work or your rear light doesn't work?
Well, the thing is with insurance, everything's case by case, I'd imagine. And the insurance company would look at the situation and obviously look at what happened. If your headlights aren't working and you've had an accident in the broad daylight, it becomes a bit difficult for them to say, well, your headlights weren't working, therefore we're going to repudiate your claim. But if you're driving at 11 o'clock at night with no headlights on your vehicle and you drove into the back of a truck because you couldn't see it, you know, then it's case by case, I'd imagine. Mm-hmm. Remember also, the insurance company has their systems or they have their assessors that will come out and look at the vehicle. First thing first, they're going to establish is the vehicle roadworthy. Is the disc valid? Is the vehicle licensed to be on the road? And they will then go from there. They've also got their processes that they need to follow. the law of the country also that governs the rules of the road does say unequivocally that your vehicle needs to be in a roadworthy condition at all times to be on the South African roads. Mm-hmm. So it's not a thing that the insurance companies put out there. That's the law in South Africa.
Yeah.
If your vehicle's not roadworthy, you shouldn't be on the road because you pose a danger to yourself and everybody else that's there.
Yeah. Warren, do you think the technologies that we're talking about will become, you know, the thing that's sort of normal in the same way that, you know, there was a time where power steerings were kind of a rare thing and increasingly, you know, almost all cars now have a power steering or electric windows? Do you imagine that we may see a time where these, I guess, this tracking technology, a lot of it is kind of Internet of Things based, become more and more normal? Our cars become more and more connected?
Definitely. You see it with a lot of the new cars that are coming out. You see it with a lot of the vehicles, the electric vehicles. They all sort of have this connected community with the electric cars where the vehicles will talk to each other in the area and get road condition information. They'll get information on traffic, that sort of thing. I mean, a system like Waze is a connected Internet of Things sort of system. So that system generates information based on everybody using the app, and it uses telematics-based information or software to gauge, well, at this specific intersection, the average wait time over there is 5 minutes, so there's a traffic jam at that specific intersection, and it would mark that on the app. So when Googs looks at a phone and says, well, I'd like to go to Sandton, it will show up that, well, the off-ramp at Greyston is backed up, and it shows that there's an average of a 15-minute wait. Those are all systems that are there already, and people are integrating them into vehicles, and a lot of the electric vehicles run or your EVs run these sorts of systems and your vehicles that are ICE or internal combustion engines. Mm. So it definitely is moving that way. But again, you know, those are not fitted to your everyday vehicles or your vehicles that are sort of at the bottom of the range. Those are a lot. They're fitted into the very high-end vehicles, right? And I'm sure that going forward, it would filter down to those vehicles. But then again, people load apps on their phone, and they have similar systems. But obviously, that's not integrated into the vehicle. That's on your phone.
Warren, as always, it's great to have you on the show. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
It's always great to have you. That's our resident motoring enthusiast, Warren Tucker, talking about our cars getting smarter and smarter and how that technology is impacting insurance. Do you think it is a good thing that insurance companies have access to as much information as they do now relating to your driving behavior? Send us a WhatsApp message on 0727021702.